This is Shannon Ray Davis, and you are listening to Omega Man Radio. Welcome to my world, the world of the Omega Man. Join us here for the nightly marathon, broadcasting Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern. You can find us here on YouTube, and we encourage you to report for duty. Get trained up. War on the Saints is coming. You want to be an overcomer and endure till the end. We will teach you how. We cast out devils. We command healing to the sick in Jesus' name. And we preach the full gospel of Jesus Christ to win souls for Jesus. I want to encourage you right now to subscribe right here on YouTube to this channel. Smash the like button and share a link to our live chat room to everyone you know right there on Facebook. Get them to come on out and tune in and join in the fight against the host of hell. If you'd like to support this work financially, we have a PayPal button on our website. We have GoFundMe, Zelle, even Take Bitcoin. And we thank you in advance for partnering with us. Our website is OmegaManRadio.com. One more thing before we start tonight's show. To the demons, tune again. We're coming for you, demon. No demon is safe. My friend, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty good.
All right.
We're trying to keep going here.
Friends, we just put a PowerPoint in the chat room for tonight's message with Tom Mack. And, of course, I had gotten a text a few hours ago from the major. He was having an angina attack, and we immediately went into prayer over the program. Have you gotten any updates from him?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I found out when you did.
Folks, I must have texted him right at the time he was doing it, going through it, and so we prayed for him but on the show, but lift him up in prayer. That's Major Tom Baird. And, you know, I texted him. I said, you know, get a bottle of cayenne pepper liquid.
Yes.
I'd forgotten about that. Someone reminded me of the date. I used to actually manufactured that at one point. It's been many years since I've had it. I've looked for it here. I can't find it. Can you believe that? But
really?
Yeah. I thought I could find it. Liquid.
I have a little cayenne pepper, and I put it on my eggs every morning.
So I went to the next best thing, which is a bottle of Tabasco sauce.
Ooh.
So I got that. But, folks, that cayenne pepper, if you're having any kind of cardio event, you can take that. That'll save your life right there. Save many.
Yeah, that stuff will wake you up.
Open up everything. I used to take a little shot glass, put a couple drops of the cayenne liquid on water in that shot glass. And I got that, so I wanted to make sure I had as little water as possible because it burned like heck. And then I chase it with regular water. But if you pour it into a big glass of water, that whole thing's going to taste like cayenne. So I just took a shot glass. It works. But it burned going down, but, man, it was a great way to open up those vascular tubes. Okay, we're going to get started tonight. Folks, welcome. We've got Professor Tom Mack. We'll get rolling now. Brother Tom, you want to open us up in prayer? The mic is yours.
Yes. Okay, Heavenly Father, in the name of Yahushua HaMashiach, we just come before you tonight. We have two requests here. One, we lift up Major Tom Baird. We have gotten disturbing reports that he's having more heart problems. Believe me, we don't need any more heart problems. We've had enough. But Heavenly Father, we just ask you to intervene in that situation and to heal him of this. He may be 81 years old, but you can still heal him. According to your clock, he's still got 20 or 39 more years to go. And Heavenly Father, we just, this isn't his time to go. We just beseech you. It's time for, you still got a lot more to do. And Heavenly Father, we also lift up Sister Trish. Oops. And we just ask you to, she's going through a foreclosure right now, and it's a wrong foreclosure. We just ask you that you would intervene in that situation and intervene mightily, that she would not lose the place she's living in, and that she would not have to settle for lesser accommodations, and that she would not have to put her son out in the street. And we just pray for your intervention in that situation. In Yahushua's name, we ask these things. Amen.
Amen. Welcome, everybody. Brother Mac, take it away.
Okay, can we do a share screen?
Let's see. You know what? If you can do it on your side, I can capture it on mine, I think. I'm getting your video now and recording that for you, so I should be able to do it. Just
and I need to do sound here.
Your sound's okay.
Okay. Can you see it?
I sure can. This is the first time I've used Skype like this in about 5 years. It's working.
Yes. We've got 29 slides tonight. And we're going to look at the next one. I had done this one months ago. And then suddenly you went off the air. Suddenly Major Baird had heart problems or had eye problems. Suddenly I have heart problems. I'm in the hospital. I'm still rehabbing. In fact, I'll go up tomorrow morning and rehab. But this thing has been on the decks that long, since April. And it's never been done. Well, we're going to do it tonight. And in the process, we're going to do a little review. And what we're going to do is look at the elements of the beast system as revealed by the Bible. People don't realize just how powerful the Bible is. I've taken it and I've turned those notes into music. And we changed the weather. Yes, we changed the weather. The Word of God is so powerful, and we don't even have a clue of how we're using it. We think the words are what's powerful. No, it's the sounds. And someday we'll have to do up a show and play some of that music for you. But right now, what we're going to do is we're going to see what the Bible tells us about the beast system. And believe me, it tells a lot. There's probably going to be about 25 episodes of this before we're all done. The first thing that we've seen that they're going to do is they're going to establish a new legal system. And this legal system has actually been approved of by our Congress for now about 40 years, starting with Jimmy Carter. Or as you guys out in Georgia say, Jimmy Carter. And I don't know that you were ever very impressed with him when he was governor down there.
No, actually.
Or were you too?
Oh, I remember Jimmy Carter. And I remember also that he brought in the swine flu shot, which my mother promptly injected me with. And I think it's impacting me to this day. So, no, I don't like him. He should have stayed making peanuts. Back to you.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to make him peanuts, to be honest. But the thing is, he was the first one to listen to Chabad Lubavitch. He actually met Rabbi Schneerson, or Rebbe Schneerson. I keep forgetting. He's supposedly an over-rabbi, so they call him Rebbe. And I would suggest you go to Matthew 23 and read about what he thinks about calling any man master. And that's something I have to think about, considering I have a Master of Business Administration degree. Yet, I don't like to see it that way, because there's so much in this world. And one of these nights when we do cryptocurrency, we're going to see it in more detail, because then we're going to talk in an area I'm supposed to be an expert in. But in any case, what we've done, or they've done, is they've created these seven laws. And some of these you don't even find anywhere in the Bible. You do, you know, like cursing your creator, yes. You don't take the name of the Lord in vain. Do not murder. Well, that's in there too. Do not steal's in there. And harness and channel the human libido, I think that goes a little bit beyond just adultery. And then establish courts of law and ensure justice in our world, that's not there at all. Yet this is what they want to do. But number one is the one we need to worry about, because it's do not profane God's oneness in any way. And by the way, this is how Shabbat Lubavitch spells God. They always take out the O and put a dash. So I wanted to preserve that the way they have it, so they're not accusing me of misrepresenting them. And so what we learned also is that there are three evil processes that have been designed to establish or challenge the authority of Yahuwah on the earth. And the first one we saw in Genesis 6. We saw the corruption of the human genome. And now we see a COVID-19 vaccine doing the very same thing. We're creating a one-world language, as we did in Genesis 9. And that one world language is computer assembler language. It's the language used to run all computers. But we don't use it on a daily basis. In fact, very few people use it anymore, because it's so basic. Years ago, when I was in school, it took, I don't know, hundreds of lines of code in assembler language just to copy one file to another place. And I was just a little part of that little project. You know, I let all the other ones do it, honestly. But I saw just how difficult it was. And the third thing is to create homosexuality and transgenderism to confuse sexuality, but also to, quote, control population growth. You know, that's something Bill Gates has said many, many times, is his big goal. Well, I think he should, well, I don't know what he should do. I don't know that I want him building any more computers either, or building any more operating systems, as if he's built any. Mostly he just stole QDOS. And then we get to slide 5. They want to establish a totalitarian system of government. And once again, they're going to use Genesis to do that. And how are they going to do it? They're going to set up a pharaoh as a sole ruler. And that pharaoh will be a beast. Now, pharaoh in Egypt, many people have suggested he was a Nephilim. And if you read Manetho, he said the first few pharaohs were gods. And at first you might say, oh, come on, you're just exaggerating things. But Not so sure now. Second thing that Joseph did is he destroyed the money system. The third thing he did is he made all the people slaves. Now, what we have here, we have a patent application that Microsoft has filed where they want to attach our brains to a cryptocurrency system so that they can mine wealth from us. And then the next thing is they want to try to move people to cities to further control populations. They don't want people out in the country. People out in the country are hard to control. You get some of these old boys up in the Rocky Mountains, it'll take almost a half a division to get them under control if they're out there, because they know where you are. You don't know where they are. It's like Major Baird said last week. And you get those boys in the Rocky Mountains, you're not going to find them. And then finally, the last one is a 20% gross receipts tax. Now, in Europe, they have a value-added tax, which is very similar to what they want to do here. And for a long time, they were selling it as the, quote, flat tax. But flat taxes can evolve into a gross receipts tax. Well, technically under our Constitution, we can't do that, but we've seen how much contempt our government has had for the Constitution as of late. So we need to realize this is what they're after, and this is all in the Bible. This next element comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 33, where they create a golden calf religious system. And they've actually been very hard at work doing that one. They tried a lot of things. And so what they want to do is create a new Elohim, make him creator of the universe. Sort of like what the Israelites did with the golden calf. And they want to make politicians the de facto priests for the new world religion. And then they want to establish a new moral code that turns the Torah on its head. And who designed that model? We're going to talk about him in a few weeks. I'm working on a book about him right now. It's 925 pages. And rather academic, so I wouldn't recommend people buying it unless they really want to dig in. Because Dr. Scholem is a very, very astute academician, but it's so tense to read that sometimes it's better if I read it and try to teach it to you that way. But basically, Sabbati Zevi became a leader of the Israelites back in 1666. He took a million of them down to Jerusalem. His hope was to reestablish the kingdom of Israel. Well, it didn't quite work out for him. But what we sometimes forget is when he failed, he converted to Islam. In fact, the picture you see of him right there, he has a turban on rather than a kippah. And that's because he converted to Islam late in his life. For the last 10 years of his life, he was Islamic. But he also formed up a group that we call the Dome. They don't call themselves that. But the Dome decided that what they needed to do was take Judaism and Islam and try to merge them. And then about 100 years later, Jacob Frank took the tenets of the Dome religion and updated it to include Christians. So by the end of the 18th century, all these fake doctrines are being put on the Christian church. And then Chrislam, as it's called now, was further worked on and updated by Dr. Rick Warren, the guy who gave you the purpose-driven church. And that, you know, sometime if you want to get a good analysis of Rick Warren, you need to get James Sundquist on your program. He studied it very extensively and has written several books on it. And then we suddenly realize that this has actually been done up in a movie. And you're going to look and say, why, when you look at that picture, you're going to say, why, that's Jean-Claude Van Damme. What's he doing a religious movie? Well, it isn't quite a religious movie. And he's not exactly the most honest character in it.
That was a great movie, by the way. Also,
oh, you saw it too.
I think it had, yeah, it had Charlton Heston in there. Chuck Heston.
Yes,
my favorite
did.
Actor.
And, but it seemed like the movie was a warning. A warning of what they were trying to do. And, you know, it's, when Charlton Heston gets into a movie, he was very zealous of his Christian reputation, so he didn't get into movies that he didn't agree with. Yes, I know once upon a time he was very liberal, but as he got into the 70s, he became very conservative. In fact, he was head of the National Rifle Association for a number of years. But the interesting thing about this movie is they talk about a cult that was supposedly started in the 12th century. That's a little early, because at that point in time, writing was not perfected enough that, one, you could afford a pad of paper. A pad of paper in the 12th century would have cost you thousands and thousands of dollars. So every sheet of paper, we've talked about it when we've talked about the book of Revelation, that when John Mark wrote that, he wrote when his family would squirrel away enough money that they could buy him a couple of pieces of papyrus. It was very expensive. In the 12th century, it wasn't much better. But by the 17th century, printing came about, and the production of papers could be done from almost any tree. So it was much cheaper by that point in time. So what we do see is we see comparisons between the order in this movie and the Dome in Shabbati Zeev's time. And we see it, one, in that they drew from a book called the Zohar. And it's very similar in pronunciation to the Phazar that's mentioned multiple times in the movie as the order's chief text. And that this archaeologist had found the last chapter. Supposedly, Jean-Claude Van Damme wrote this. So, basically, what you have for a foundation for this order, the Dome, is a 13th century text called the Zohar, and a 16th century text called the Lurianic Kabbalah. And that's one of the things people have to understand. There's been many, many versions of the Kabbalah. and some are better than others. In this case, they got way off into outer space somewhere, and nobody could understand what they were writing, and I think sometimes they didn't understand. They might pretend to, but you have to be careful for arrogance. And the guy who wrote it, he died when he was 38 years old. He was 38 years old. So he must have been brilliant to be able to write so much in such a short time. But this picked up, and suddenly about a half a dozen other scholars grabbed onto it and wrote commentaries on it. And then Sabati Zevi picked it up. And he gave a little bit more practical interpretation. And then when he saw himself as the Jewish Messiah, he was ready to turn the Torah on its head. Basically, now it's okay to commit adultery. It's okay to, and I guess Sabati Zevi had about 10 ladies. Well, he was a pretty handsome man, according to texts of the time. So, sometimes if you have it, you... Well, I won't go any further. But the interesting thing, it's a good movie. It's getting a little hard to get unless you want to pay Amazon for the privilege. So, I'm working up a way to get it for us. And I've just... I had a DVD of it. Well, I've gotten it on my computer. Now I need to find a way to get it backdoor on this some torrent site so people can download it. Then we studied the tribe of Dan and their serpent. Remember, the serpent is the main symbol of the tribe of Dan, according to his father Jacob, or Yisrael. So suddenly we have the serpent around the UN. We see the serpent all over every medical seal. And they use fear as their main weapon. Gee, how have they done that? And they do surprise. And they surprise. We've got an epidemic. Everybody's got to be locked down. You can't go outside. And now they're using it to push a, quote, vaccine to modify the human genome. And they've used locusts and other insects to attack the world food supplies. And if you remember, the Moabite deity Chemosh is a locust Elohim. And they do have plans on deck to replace the 50 states with 10 regions. And they're now calling it denaturalization. And now suddenly the president will appoint bureaucrats to rule these 10 regions. And out the door will go state legislators and governors. They want to bring centralized government. And to do that, they need to get rid of the state governments, especially the ones that are fighting them, like, say, the state of Wyoming, the state of South Dakota, and to appoint the state of Utah. In fact, there's a lot of people in Utah who would like to leave the union. Same is true in Texas. In fact, I was wondering if they weren't going to leave over the Biden presidency. And there's still a lot of people down there that would like to see that happen. And then, again, look for them to increase genome experimentation and work for ways to modify. Now they're already talking that you'll have to have a monthly booster to this vaccine. Well, guess what? How many years have we gotten weekly updates to our computers? And we think that's okay. They don't understand that you're monkeying with human beings, not some piece of machinery. And then finally, we have the spirit of Balaam. And what that does is confuse spirituality. And what Balaam did was manipulate and wrest biblical teachings to achieve a desired end. This time, it's the royal families doing it. And they've used the Jesuits to this end. But they'll use anybody. And we studied how King Balak wanted to destroy the Israelites. But he couldn't do it by attacking them in war, because the Israelites just defeated the two nations that had chased them out of substantial pieces of land. So they knew that wasn't going to happen. So they got Balaam to manipulate prophecies so he could bring about the destruction of the Israelites. So what he had to do was he had to bring sin to Israel. And we saw how he did that with the little harlots. That's in the next page. And then finally, where we're going today is we want to go back and look at a scripture we've studied before, Jude 11. Jude's only one chapter, so I just skip the one and go straight to verse. So you go to Jude verse 11, and we see, woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain. We've talked about that. We probably need to talk more about it. And ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. We just talked about that. And perished in the gainsaying of Korah. And I'm going, wait a minute. We haven't studied that guy yet. Let's finish the scriptures we have here. They are spots in your feasts of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds are they without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. So these three classes of people, the Cain, Balaam, and Korah, they're all spots in our feasts of charity. And they have no problem feeding off of Christianity. They've been doing it for years. They promise a lot. They're clouds without water. It looks like you're going to get a good rainstorm, and out here you see clouds and you're thinking, oh, we're going to get rain. And then suddenly we get nothing. You almost feel like it's a judgment. But these guys, they're carried about by the winds. There's so many doctrines these guys follow. For a while they were all laughing. The Rodney Howard Brown. Well, you know, when that wound down, they went to doing other things. But they're carried about by the wind. But let's go look at Korah. What did Korah do? I've got the scriptures written here. Since we're going to be a little short on time, I'm just going to try to tell the story. And then you can read the scriptures later. We have Korah. He's a Levite. And he takes two men who are Reubenites, sons of Reuben. And they rose up before Moses, but they didn't just do it alone. 250 princes, famous in the congregation, men of renown. Ooh, where have I heard that word, men of renown, before? I think in reference to the Nephilim in Genesis 6:4. I don't know that I like that word. And they gathered themselves together against Moses. And they said to him, "You're taking too much upon you. Don't you realize the congregation is all holy, every one of them? And Yahuwah is among them? How come you get to lift yourselves up above the congregation of Yahuwah?" Very, very contrived argument, and we're going to see it blow apart for them. Basically, what they did is they went back to Exodus 18, and they remembered when Moses' father-in-law told Moses, "You're taking on too much. You shouldn't be judging everything in that congregation. You have judges for little things, hire judges to judge the bigger things, and only the really big things come to you." So that argument was no longer valid. And he's saying the congregation is holy. Were they holy when they built the golden calf? Were they holy when the Lord told them to go into the promised land and they said no, that we're not able to do it? No. I think we're starting to realize these guys are full of you-know-what. And then finally, the biggest charge. How come you guys get to lift yourself up above the congregation? Well, maybe it's because Moses got him out of Egypt in the first place. Where was Korah when all this happened? It's just showing the motives of Korah. He wants some power grab. We see that in churches a lot. But Moses, you always have to honor him. He fell on his face. And finally he said, "Okay, tomorrow we're just going to see just how holy you guys really are." And so he's going to take the censers. He's going to say, "Okay, take your censers, you and all your company, and put fire therein. And we'll put incense in them before Yahuwah tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom Yahuwah doth choose, he shall be holy." And then he does a little dig at him. "Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi." And so the big day comes. The big day comes. And they go before the altar. But again, they're murmuring. They go back and they say, We were in Egypt in a land flowing with milk and honey. Now we're in this wilderness and we're all going to be dead. Well, you're all going to be dead because you didn't follow orders. When the Lord told you to go into the promised land, you believed the 10 spies who gave a false report. And so, and then they start making it look like they left Egypt and that was a land flowing with milk and honey. Well, it's not. And finally, Moses said, was very angry, and he said unto Yahuwah, "Respect now not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them." And Moses said unto Korah, "Be thou and all thy company before Yahuwah, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow. Take every man his censer and put incense in them. And bring ye before Yahuwah every man his censer, 250 censers, thou also, and Aaron, each of you, his censer. And they took each man his censer and put fire in them and laid incense thereon and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of Yahuwah appeared unto all the congregation. And Yahuwah spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. This is another time that our Heavenly Father is ready to ditch the whole bunch of them. But Moses interceded. We learn a lot from the intercessions of Moses. And they fell on their faces and said, O Elohim, the El of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And Yahuwah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sin. Got to be careful who you follow. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives, and their sons, and their little children. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know what Yahuwah hath sent me to do, all these works. For I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then Yahuwah hath not sent me. He's sending a challenge. He's saying if Yahuwah honors them and he doesn't kill them, then Yahuwah didn't send me. But if Yahuwah make a new thing and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up, it hasn't happened before, with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked Yahuwah. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from Yahuwah and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. And so, after that, Moses did a little damage control, had his Aaron's son Eleazar take up the censers and scatter the fire, because it was still hallowed. And here we learn something in verse 38. The censers of these sinners against their own souls. When they sinned against their own souls to the point they destroyed them. You got to be careful who you follow. These guys may sound good, but Korah was a rebellious man, and he sought to usurp power. Got to be careful when you see these guys do these things. And sure enough, at the end of the day, what did the people do? They murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, "You've killed the people of Yahuwah." And murmuring's not such a smart idea. And sure enough, the Lord appeared again. And what happened this time? A plague. A plague came on the congregation. And suddenly, people got sick. A lot of people got sick. 14,700 died because of this plague. And this plague came because people murmured against the leadership. And so this is something to be very careful about. When you have godly leadership, don't listen to every guy who says they know better. We're going to learn about another one in a few weeks called Absalom, who thought David wasn't doing his job. And you're going to see what happened to that in that rebellion. We're going to see what happened when Saul's rebels. That is one of the aspects of the seven royal families, is they are rebels. And why are they rebels? Because their kingships come from the line of Solomon, which was cursed by Jeremiah. There's several places in Jeremiah 23 where the house of Jeconiah was cursed because he did not follow after his heavenly father, as his father Josiah had taught him to. And so Jeremiah cursed his line and said, "There will be no man sit on the throne of Israel from this family ever again." What did that do? That knocked out the family of Solomon. So who's next in line to Solomon? His son Nathan. Yes, David actually named a son for his prophet Nathan. And if you go to the book of Zechariah, and you go to, I think it's the 12th chapter, you see where Zechariah is talking about the house of Nathan mourning, because they are now the rulers of Israel. If you look at the lineage of Yahushua, he comes from the house of Nathan through his mother, because he had no earthly father, because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So you have to look at the lineage of Mary, and the book of Luke does that. And you see where she descended from Nathan, the son of David. That's something most people don't understand. And that's why Luke had to write a lineage for Mary, whereas Matthew did one for Joseph, his sort of earthly father. But you see, Joseph did not conceive Yahushua. It was the Holy Spirit. So it's Mary's lineage that's important, not Joseph's. And so you say, well, didn't Matthew just waste a lot of time doing that? No. because he had to show why Joseph could not be a king of Israel, because his family line was cursed and Mary's wasn't. Yet the royal families all claim that they are connected to the house of Solomon, and they desire the kind of rule that Solomon allegedly had when he ruled Israel. And by ruling Israel, at one time actually ruled the entire world, they thought. The Bible doesn't say that, but there's plenty of other places that suggest that. And since the royal families don't care much about the Bible, except when they can use it for their own advantage, they are going to assert that we have the right to rule the world. We have the divine right of kings. And we've talked about that a couple of years ago when we talked about going on the trail of the beast and going on and trailing the harlot that will sit on the beast. And we begin to realize how this all sets up. So this is one of the things that we have to be very careful of, that we're not following rebels. And let's see how he used Korah. First, he attacked Moses to undermine the ability of Yahuwah to communicate directly with his people. Because what would have happened if Korah had taken over? One, we would have not had the book of Deuteronomy, and much of the book of Numbers would have been stricken. And probably the Israelites would have died in the desert, because they would be in rebellion. And so the beast sees Korah as a way to compromise Christian leaders. And there's three ways they do it. One, get the leaders to believe erroneous doctrines. And Acts 8, verses 9 through 25, go over that in considerable detail. And when we read about Simon the sorcerer, we may study that later on. Or get them to engage in ungodly behaviors. We'll study that in a week or two when we study Saul. Because what did he do? He consulted a medium at Endor, a woman. He consulted her to bring up Samuel. And then the third way is to get these leaders to sell their souls, usually to get some major advancement in their, quote, ministry. Let's be honest. Any ministry anyone has is what their Heavenly Father gives them. Anything else that they get beyond what their Heavenly Father gives them is worldliness. And the bigger they get, the more worldly they get, and they lose touch. And we've seen that. And then suddenly they start engaging in ungodly behaviors, and they start teaching erroneous doctrines. But sometimes getting them to sell their souls is the only way to get them down that road. So, we have to understand. Our Heavenly Father eliminated Korah and his followers by having the earth swallow them up or burn them up. So that way they are not even counted as part of Israel. because they were in rebellion. And Samuel later explained, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Everything about them had to be destroyed. And those that murmured, they died in a plague. That's how our Heavenly Father deals with heretics. So, looks like we actually did a pretty decent time here.
Did good.
The last one here, some of you, if you want to write Major Baird and send him your little get well cards that you make on your computers, I think he would like that. And there's the email address to send him. And his books, Alive on the Edge, The Sharp Edge of the Sword, and The Copper Scroll Incident, can be found at Amazon.com and other bookstores as well. And then also I have my email address here. And I also have a bunch of websites, the latest one being ancientevil.org, though I haven't been able to work on it that much lately because we've just upgraded a lot of it to PHP 8.0. And in the process of doing that, we had to change a lot of programming on a lot of sites. And I'm still in the process of doing that. But we're progressing, but these are all the websites.
Now, for those that are listening to podcast only, give out your main website and how people reach you.
Okay. My main website is whitestonefoundation.org. And also, the business website is whitecottagepublishing.com. And also, if you're interested in the music I mentioned early on in the program, go to themusicofheaven.com. There's a lot of music you can download from there. And it's all free. I'm not charging for it.
Now, for tonight's archives, what shall we title the program?
Okay, On the Trail of the Beast, Part 8, The Rebellion of Korah.
Fantastic. My friend, thank you for coming on tonight. We recorded audio and video, and I'll work on getting the video posted later this evening. Send you a copy. I want to thank you. Brother Tom, great presentation. You always put in a lot of hard work to do these programs. We appreciate you, and we will see you again very soon. We love you.
Yes, let's hopefully we can get crypto going. It's quite a rise lately, and
I'll text you after the show, and let's set up a date, in fact.
Yes, please do.
Okay.
It's sort of hard to, but I think we can find one.
Fantastic. Folks, stay tuned. We'll be back. Continue again in a moment. Thank you, Tom.
Shalom. See you soon.
Thank you, sir. Folks, stand by.